Hey guys, it's me, Kristen.
And me, Will.
And before we get started, we wanted to tell you about something that we're going to be doing over on Patreon that is very exciting to us. And perhaps if you are a deep GTTU head, it'll be exciting to you too.
Yes. So it may be remembered that I got a series of emails from somebody that referred to themselves as Little Brother. The thing that you may not know is that they have been trying to make contact with me again for like weeks or months.
Yeah, I think it's a couple months.
And I have not responded, and I do not understand what these new emails mean.
Yeah.
But I really, really would like to.
Yes.
So Kristen and I have talked about it, and we have decided it is time to do a Little Brother deep dive. And we are going to be doing just that next Thursday, January 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us over on patreon.com/gttupod for an exclusive live stream. We're going to try to get to the bottom of these new emails, which include audio recordings.
And it's so creepy, this audio recording. I almost died when I heard it.
Things are getting weird. And it's an email that was sent to me that I didn't even notice until like a couple months later.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be going over those emails on patreon.com/gttupod live. You can see what we're doing. You can suggest things for us to look up. You can look things up on your end. Let's try to get to the bottom of what was sent here, because Will and I have done a little bit of light surface looking before we had the idea to do this live stream. And I found a couple of interesting things, but overall, I'm pretty stumped. So we would love to crowdsource this, and we think it would be a lot of fun too.
Yeah. So it will be a live stream. It'll be like if you've ever tuned into a previous live stream of ours, but I also think that it's going to be like a group think.
Yes.
We need everybody to get together and figure out what is Little Brother trying to say to me.
And by the way, Little Brother might be in there.
You know what? That's a weird point, but you're right.
You know, like we probably won't know that unless they decide to announce themselves, which if they do, I'd be thrilled and I would die.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if serial killer is like kind of sniffing around the scene of their crime and seeing how people are doing, if they're piecing anything together, Big Brother very well may jump on this live stream.
I know. There's good chance.
Yeah.
So Netherworld Warriors.
Unite.
Unite. that's next Thursday, January 23rd, 6 p.m. Eastern, patreon.com/gttupod.
Yes.
And now, enjoy the show. Put a leash on your dog.
Leash the dog.
Oh, did you train it? It's really, 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 really trained. Oh, he's smart. He likes to walk with you. Put a leash on your dog.
Don't care. Leash the dog. Hello, welcome to Guides to the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her brother, William.
And today we are going to be talking about paranormal animals in honor of Dr. Doolittle coming out on the day that we release this.
Yeah, exactly.
The highly, hotly anticipated Dr. Doolittle.
Yep, this is a an official tie-in from whatever studio made that piece of crap movie.
William.
I mean.
I saw a review for Dr. Doolittle today that said, hey, it's better than Cats, was the title of the review.
Oh, boy. They should have done a bunch of...
It's not getting good reviews at all.
They should have done a bunch of ads where Dr. Doolittle was talking to the cats. And trying to figure out, like what happened to them and if he can fix them.
Maybe he could. Maybe that's the tie-in we need. Maybe that would have fixed Cats.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if it fixed Dr. Doolittle, but maybe he could have helped those cats.
Right. So this Dr. Doolittle movie, Kristen and I have low-key been keeping track of this thing for like years.
Years. Will made a fake Dr. Doolittle poster that I will post on our social media years ago because we talked about this film being announced, film. On our old podcast, Book Club Schmuck Club, like 3 years ago or something. And then Will made a mock poster that looks like probably just as good as the actual poster they came out with.
Yes. And I said that it should be part of the Magooniverse.
Yes, that's
right.
Because
they should reboot Dr. Doolittle and Mr. Magoo.
Yes.
It should lead to an eventual team up.
That's right. Do things Marvel Cinematic Universe style.
Right. But so Robert Downey Jr. yeah, it's not impossible.
No.
Robert Downey Jr. is Doolittle. And it looks terrible. I've heard it's terrible.
We saw the trailer for Doolittle in the theater before we saw Cats.
Right.
And we just turned and looked at each other just like, whoa, what is this? Oh, remember this really funny part where Kumail Nanjiani was the voice of like an ostrich?
Yes.
And he popped up and he's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Or something. And we were like, whoa.
Couldn't believe it. It was overwhelming. The trailer is full of like whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to have Kumail Nanjiani just be like, what's this? this?
Yeah,
all was of a just, sudden. It took me aback.
It was so jarring.
So we're going to talk about dogs and cats from hell.
Yes, yes. Or
spooky versions.
Mythology around cats. Basically anything paranormal having to do with cats.
Sure. Well, I just mean spooky.
Yeah.
Like these are the dogs and cats that Dr. Doolittle would not want
no.
anything to do with.
No part of it.
Although I'm sure he would say that he turns away no patient.
That's true. I mean, it would be going against the Hippocratic Oath to turn
everybody
him away, right? Would
can
it?
Be
I don't know.
The spirit of adventure.
Yeah, does he have an accent? Oh, yeah.
I think
we were like, he's
British
basically being Sherlock Holmes, but a Danimal doctor.
Yeah, but also
really.
Like
just British.
Like romancy
adventuring. Yeah. He's definitely like jumping on a ship.
He is.
Yeah.
But before we get into all that, two quick things.
Yes.
One, Kristen and I just released a brand new episode of the Netherworld Dispatch over on patreon.com/GTTUpod, which you can listen to right this very second.
Yep.
You can also kind of sort of watch it. YouTube removed it instantly.
Yes, but
blocked
we have
on YouTube. Too hot for YouTube.
But we have a link to a private OneDrive
where you can watch it.
So it's not the same experience you might be used to, but it's still there.
Yes, we had to find our own workarounds.
Yes.
Basically, Kristen and I decided to take a look at a few horror music videos to see what the bands Creed, 30 Seconds to Mars, Aphex Twin, and Michael Jackson thought would scare the dickens out of everybody.
Yes, and some of them did in different ways than you might think.
My God. One of them sends a genuine chill up your spine.
Yes.
Guess which one. Anyway,
it's disturbing.
Go get that right now. Become another world warrior starting at $4. Patreon.com/GTTUpod. You can get it right in your app. Listen to it. Stuff like that.
That's right. It's its own special podcast just for Patreon people.
Yeah. Full feature-length podcast.
Yeah.
The other quick announcement is that just for fun's sake, if anybody out there lives in New York or the tri-state area, Kristen and I, along with Allie, are going to be at Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg on Saturday night. So literally, if you're listening to this on Friday when it drops, tomorrow at midnight, you go to Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg and buy yourself a ticket to see Scream 2.
Can you believe it, guys?
We got tickets to see Scream 2 at midnight. This might be the first time I will have ever seen this movie in a theater.
I think so for me, too. I was trying to remember. I don't think I saw any of them in the theaters.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am, too. I'm stoked. It might be my favorite Scream. Can I say that?
I know. Pretty controversial. Yeah. Hot take.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to see the original Scream in theaters. That's like a bucket list thing for me almost.
I would love that. Yep.
I know. But so I'm pumped. I don't know why they're doing just Scream 2 because it doesn't seem like they're doing any of the others. But yes, Kristen and I will be at this showing of Scream 2 at Nighthawk Cinema in Williamsburg on the 19th.
Is that right?
They screw up the dates a little bit because they do
like
midnight's
confusing.
Technically the next day thing.
Right. So it's actually so Saturday the 18th
is when
you
should be driving to Williamsburg.
Right. Exactly. So it's technically the 19th, but 18th for normal purposes.
Yes, exactly. But there you go.
Yeah,
that's it.
Totally.
Hopefully we'll see some people there. We'll watch some stabbings and stuff and see Dewey step in that pizza.
Yes. Oh, can't wait to see that on the big screen.
I know.
Oh, come on. All right. So let's launch into it. So I'm going to start us off with anything spooky about cats, black or otherwise. So, William, there are many different types of cats. Jellicle, for one.
Ugh.
Wrote that down.
Ugh.
Will, any just real quick stray thoughts on the movie Cats?
We just
mentioned that we saw it in the theater together. Anything off the top that's Guide to the Unknown? The whole thing is kind of Guides the Unknown adjacent because it's so scary and messed up.
Here's a very basic thought. The movie Cats has become very meme-ified. People are sharing it endlessly online as like
a sign
of something that sucks. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Like they talk about how this movie stinks.
Yeah.
It's funny though because I feel like all those jokes, while hilarious, almost serve as a band-aid over the fact that the experience of watching Cats is it sucks.
I hated it.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad it's not funny.
No, I didn't find it like fun bad or anything. I really hated the experience of watching it. I was like, it's boring and annoying and kind of inscrutable. It's not even bad enough to be that much fun throughout. I think some people do feel it is. So that's great. But for me, for the most part, it would be a second of being like, ew, what?
Yes.
But then that just goes away and then I'm just watching Cats.
And I've always been irritated by Cats and mystified by it.
Yes. We've long talked about Cats on our podcasts.
But the structure of that story is just cat after cat mm-hmm. singing about themselves with no narrative.
No.
They tried to inject something in the new movie by having Mr. Mistopheles? No, yeah. He's the magic one.
Oh, no. McCavity.
McCavity, mm-hmm. the mystery cat.
Right.
They tried to turn him into more of a true villain.
Right. There are wanted posters for McCavity
right.
in the cat's world. Who made those posters? Are there cat police? Yeah. Or after McCavity presumably that we don't get to see.
Yeah. They have a whole song and dance about what it means to be a police officer.
Right.
But it was too little
mm-hmm.
Narrative. Oh, why wouldn't you just change the Broadway play to make a story? I just don't understand how you couldn't take that opportunity. They just kept it the same way, which sucked.
Yeah.
And still sucks.
Yes.
And they made a movie that sucks.
Yeah, totally.
And they filmed it in the most mind-boggling way ever. It's ugly.
Yeah, it looks so weird.
So on top of it being funny to share images from the movie Cats,
yeah.
don't forget, it's horrible.
It also sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Those are my thoughts.
Okay. I mean, honestly, ditto. I don't think I have really anything else to add to the discourse. I did not enjoy it, and it's really weird, and I wouldn't even say it's like a worth watching thing. Yeah, I mean, there are worse movies you could watch,
right?
But I wouldn't say, oh, this is so bad you have to check it out. Like, you're good just seeing the stuff online. Bad. You've got the gist of it, and that gist is all you need.
Yeah,
I remember that was my first instinct, that maybe the gist is all I need, but then I found out that they were fixing the bad CGI. It made me panic.
Yeah,
because I was like, if I do see it someday, I don't want to see the fixed version. So Will and I rushed out the last day they were changing the CGI.
We got like emergency tickets to see the original worst version of Cats possible.
Yes.
I will say one of the additions they made was having Rebel Wilson fight against McCavity, and she goes,
oh, I know.
She says something along the lines of, like, they always told you to look out for the crazy cat lady.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a quip that makes no logical
sense. Well, I don't think we should be looking for lot of logical sense in here anyway, but especially from a character who peels off a cat suit to be a cat underneath, still wearing like a hoodie or something. I don't know. Very, very confusing.
It was trash.
Yeah. So they're a Jellicle cat, sure.
Yeah.
But in general, cats have kind of a spooky reputation. Black cats are obviously a thing that's very tied in with horror. And cats in general, like, I have one and I forget that this is a thing, but it's true. There are a lot of people who are scared of cats or don't like them. They find them creepy. And they're kind of depicted as always watching. They're slinking around. They're like observant and sneaky and creepy, that you can not realize that there's a cat looking at you, and you just look and they're already like staring at you, which I definitely have experienced. I took a picture of Chloe actually while I was typing up my stuff. She was looking at me through the windows in a door in the other room, just staring. And I have the picture. It's not that interesting, but I'll post it with the episode because I zoomed in. It was kind of funny.
Cats are little crazy people. Maniacs.
They are weird.
Yeah.
There's an entire subgenre of books about cats solving mysteries. We're familiar with Coco and Yum Yum, but there's a whole other world of cozy cat mysteries.
Right.
Which I dipped my toe into recently, and I read one from the library.
Dipped your paw.
I dipped my paw. It was okay. But let's first talk about some of the mythology and folklore around cats from ancient Egypt, because this might have been one of the, if not the way, that cats being kicked off as something that's potentially supernatural came to, I don't remember how I started that sentence. It's one of the earliest
iterations of cats being considered supernatural.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ancient Egyptians held cats in super duper high regard. There were penalties for killing or hurting a cat that were extreme. Cats were seen as protective because they killed poisonous snakes for real, and they were thought to guard the pharaoh. So just very protective, big deal beings. So maybe because of that, there are multiple Egyptian deities with cat heads, and they represent justice, fertility, and power. Mm. They were thought to be travelers between the realms of the living and the dead, that they could kind of transcend the veil. And many of them were mummified the same way that humans were in ancient Egypt. So they were like super respected and super revered. There are pictures you can Google. It's not scary or gross or anything. It's as scary or gross as seeing like a human mummy, where it's like a mummified cat head.
Yeah.
And they'll be in kind of like a, not exactly clothes, but they'll be like a garment that they're mummified in.
Huh.
It's really interesting. You can definitely tell that they were laid to rest with a lot of respect and a lot of care. It's not just a mummified cat.
Right.
It's kind of like a whole thing. Also in the ancient Egyptian Book of the Dead, a cat's image represents the sun god Ra. So cats were a big deal.
Big old deal.
Very hot in ancient Egypt. And so maybe that kind of helped influence the way that we've seen them later on as we go through history, and it kind of built and built.
Meme idea. You know that that one meme of Mustafa or whatever from Zoolander? And he goes, Hansel, so hot right now.
Wait, what the hell's that guy's name? Maybe it is Mustafa.
Mugatu. Mugatu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Replace his head with a pharaoh's head, and it says, cats, so hot right now.
And his hair kind of is like pointy like cat ears, so that would probably like transfer quite cleanly.
And he carries that cat.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, he carries a dog.
Oh, damn it, you're right. Because
that would have been too Mr. Big.
Oh, yeah, he's like, obey my dog.
Obey my dog.
That's right. What do you think about those cats that don't have any hair?
I'm sure they're just like other cats.
Yeah. Do you find them gross or anything?
I personally don't find them gross.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'd be curious to hold one. I do feel like it would be like holding like a thawed turkey.
Yes.
But
I think probably.
They're just an animal. I like animals.
I do too.
Yeah.
I know some people are really creeped out by them. I think they're kind of cute. Like, they're fine. It would feel different to hold one.
It would just feel odd.
Remember when Rachel on Friends bought a cat like that? Because, yeah, like, I don't know what the deal is. Maybe she was going through, like, a stressful time and it was, like, a stress response or something. I remember she's, like, complaining about whatever. And she's like, now I ended up with this cat that looks like a hand.
She has to carry it around on a pillow.
Yes. Yeah. It's, like, too delicate.
Yeah.
Friends is great. I haven't watched that in forever. Okay. So now let's move on to arguably the most notorious kind of cat, the black cat.
I'm really sorry for saying this.
But yeah.
I just thought of it. I called that Will Ferrell character from Zoolander Mustafa and referenced Mr. Bigglesworth, even though he has a dog.
Yeah.
He is in Austin Powers as Mustafa.
Oh, my God.
Where Mr. Bigglesworth originated.
Is, where he lives.
Do you think he was looking at Dr. Evil and thinking, someday?
Laying in wait. Who is Mustafa? I don't remember.
He also pops up in the time travel, one of the time travel ones. I think maybe just the second one.
Okay.
He's impossible to kill, and he has a little red fez.
Okay, okay, I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's weird. Yeah, you did a mind melt.
Yeah.
Ryan watched The Spy Who Shagged Me the other night. Did that maybe seep into your...
Did he go to a midnight screening of Austin Powers 2?
It was a midnight screening at home. He watched it at home, and he gets out really late, so it probably was.
What a dream.
He said it was great. Okay. He wants something that would put him in a good mood, if I remember correctly. I think that's why he watched it.
Yeah. That was a masterpiece.
I think it worked. Okay, so black cats.
Yes.
So not everyone thinks that they are bad luck. They're considered good luck in Japan, and some of you believe that a gal who owns a black cat will be lucky in love.
Oh.
In Germany, a black cat crossing your path right to left is bad luck. If it crosses left to right, then it's good luck. I just did that backwards if you're watching, but still.
Weird.
I was thinking that's because when you read, you move left to right, or kind of like forward motion is kind of thought of as like left to right. So maybe right to left is kind of, it feels like it's moving backwards. So that's bad luck.
It's weird too, because left and right are relative terms. Depends on which way you're facing.
Yes.
So it's not like east to west or west to east, which you could maybe make more
I guess it's whatever your perspective about. Is.
I know, you know but it's just weird.
It is kind
of
weird.
So if a cat walks between us, one of us has good luck and the other has bad luck.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very weird.
Oh, boy. Well, things better go right for me.
Yeah.
Let me see. Britain is of two minds about that kind of thing. Some sources say that a black cat crossing your path either way is good luck. Others say that it walking away from you is good luck. Toward you is bad luck. So I wonder if it's because if black cats are symbolizing bad luck and it's walking away from you.
Sure, that's interesting.
The cat itself is still bad luck, but it's leaving you.
Right.
Is maybe the thing. I thought that was kind of interesting. And that toward away sort of thing also applies to some ship lore. I wrote it that way. I don't know if ship lore is actually its own thing about black cats. If a black cat walks onto and then off of a ship, no bueno, that ship is going to sink when it goes out. When it goes out of port.
Oh, that's interesting. So, like, you see a cat
go onto a ship and then be like,
I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the idea of animals being able to see something that we cannot.
Right.
You know, if they're seeing that this ship is a doomed vessel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting.
Exactly. So, you wouldn't want that. But some sailors prefer having a ship cat for their journey, because a black ship cat for good luck. So I guess a ship cat is just a cat that goes on you for goes with you for the whole journey at sea.
Right.
But I would think it would like wander off ship. It's not like they have such a maybe it's just like an instinctive knowledge right. of the boundaries, like that being dangerous, which I'll go into it a little bit at the end. That could be the case, that the cats are just like, nope, I'm not walking off the ship. But still, it's, I don't know.
Well, it's also a cat strange. Outside. Cats are tricky to me as like a companion just out in the wild, because yeah. what is to stop them from just wandering away from you?
Right.
I mean, totally. Dogs too. Leash your dogs. Thing.
Oh, definitely.
If you're walking around the world, put a leash on that dog. I don't care how smart you think it is.
Same. I don't even want to get started. Leash that dog.
Leash that dog.
It's still an animal.
Leash your dog.
Yes. Anyway.
But like a cat in particular, I would assume that it might just disappear.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Because about to say, I'm playing right into this cat stereotypes. They're so slinky and curious and whatever. Right. I would think the same thing, but... maybe there's something about a ship cat that just knows that there's danger that away. Like, maybe they can sense it's not solid if they were to jump off of it or something.
Maybe.
Who knows? Doesn't really matter. But I thought that was kind of interesting. The fishermen's wives, the wives of the guys who go out to sea, liked to keep black cats at home as well, hoping that having them in the family would protect their loved ones while they were away. So this is from a school of thought that these cats are good luck.
Yeah.
So having it at home is going to somehow psychically protect your loved one who's out at sea. There are also Scottish legends that say that black cats symbolize prosperity. So either having one or having it cross your path or whatever is going to make you prosperous and good luck. But there are also Scottish legends that look at black cats in a scarier kind of way. It's basically Celtic mythology, so mostly Scottish, but it pops up in some Irish stuff as well. They have a fairy creature called the Cat Sith.
Aha.
That's basically a black cat. Are you talking about the dog Sith?
I've got a dog Sith.
Okay, awesome. I should mention, one of our listeners and friends, Brett Manning, so if you go to her Instagram, I think it's just Brett Manning Art, and I'll have to write down the things to post with this episode. Man, a lot of things that I want to post.
Yeah.
She has a painting that she did of a dog Sith, and she tagged us in it when we were talking about Siths of Star Wars a few weeks ago.
Oh, interesting.
Because she saw the link and thought it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So check out Brett Manning Art, and I will also post that picture online.
Awesome.
So anyway, people of the Scottish Highlands weren't into this cat Sith. They said that it could steal your soul by passing over a corpse before it was buried. So I was trying to remember, I think there's something else where, or I could be thinking the same thing, where if like a cat jumps over your corpse, it steals your soul, or something, not a cat.
Something like that.
I'm not sure, but if it just passes by a corpse before it was buried, that meant that the cat Sith could steal your soul. So I thought, this is something that's super cool. In order to distract the cat Sith and keep it away from the body, a tradition started where people would play games, wrestle, work out riddles together, and listen to music in the room that the corpse was in during a funeral, because that would distract the cat Sith away from jumping over the body and stealing the soul. They also made sure that there wasn't a fire in their room, because it was said that the cat Sith was drawn to warmth. So you don't want a cat Sith being like, ooh, warmth, ooh, a body for me to jump over and steal its soul.
Right.
So they kept the room fireless.
Interesting.
Very interesting. There are other little kind of stories about the cat Sith. It was said that on Samhain, if you left out milk for the cat Sith on your doorstep to drink when it's walking by, you would receive its blessing. But if you didn't, you would be cursed to have all your cows be dry for the coming year. Milkless.
For a year?
I actually just said year. I didn't write down year.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking because Samhain comes once a year, maybe you could undo the curse if they come next year and then you do have milk out or something. Your cow would be as dry as Jack's cow from Into the Woods.
Oh, no.
Don't want that. Mother won't be happy. There was also a belief that the cat Sith was a witch who could transform into the form of a cat 9 times. So kind of a 9 lives thing. That seems to be maybe where the idea of a cat having 9 lives came from. But on the 9th time, the witch would have to remember that change would be permanent.
Oh.
So really, you can come and go 8 times.
Right.
The 9th time, you're deciding to live as a cat.
Then you got a decision to make.
Oh, a big one.
Do I want to be a cat forever now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have a bunch of jellicles to hang out with and have a terrible time, I guess the decision is made for you, and it's no.
Maybe that is how we got Old Deuteronomy.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe that's why Old Deuteronomy is so bummed. Uh-huh. Wait, is Deuteronomy bummed?
Well, she seems like there's a lot of weight on her shoulders.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She has a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would. You know what? She is kind of the decision maker. It seems like she must have some sort of communion with the other realms because uh-huh. she can send people to the Heaviside Layer. Yep. So you're right. Maybe she was a witch who transformed for the ninth time.
Yeah.
She had that power from life. Interesting. So the relationship between black cats and shapeshifting doesn't end there. The pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, who are a bunch of dorks, were very suspicious of cats being witches' familiars or agents of the devil because they were so preoccupied with like satanic stuff.
Yeah, right.
They were a very suspicious sort in general. So black cats became deeply tied to satanic activity or black magic in their view. And anyone caught with a black cat was punished or killed.
We're so stupid.
Yeah, chill people in general, those so pilgrims.
Dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this last category that I have, I forgot that I wrote this. I was having a good time being back during our first GTTU of 2020.
Yep.
The category is Meow, I See Dead People.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not supposed to be now. It's just meow.
Right.
I see dead people.
It took me a second. I was thinking like, meow, that's what I call music.
Oh, well, it's quite good. Okay. So here's the thing. So like we said, cats have a reputation of kind of staring a lot. And some people think that maybe they're staring and they're seeing something that we're not seeing, whether yes. that's ghosts or things from other dimensions or something like that.
I really like that cartoon online where somebody like sees their cat and they're like, what do you think he's looking at? He's just always staring off into nothing. And then from the cat's POV, there's like a wailing ghost.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Cats do factually have extremely good eyesight. They can see super well in the dark. They can see things better than we can. But does that mean that they can see into the dark realms? Their good eyesight, coupled with the legends and folklore, and the fact that they do stare at things like crazy, you can see them do it, seems to feed the legend that they can see things that we can't, that may be ghosts or ghouls or whatever, ghouls. They also have very good hearing. So, factually, so could they be hearing things we can't? Are cats basically little EVP machines?
Yeah.
You know? Plus, they can sense the electromagnetic energy that is produced by other animals. It's an evolutionary thing that's like useful for them in hunting and stuff like that.
Oh.
So does this make them little EMF meters?
So they can sense something without even seeing or hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There is an article that we will link to in the show notes. It's a story of a cat who got lost on a family trip. It said family trip. It almost seemed to me like maybe this family moved cross country, got lost while they were on this trip, and then returned 200 miles home to its original house.
That's
which must
crazy.
Have been a bummer for the cat because their family wasn't there. Or maybe they didn't care about the family. Maybe they cared about the house. But this cat showed up at these people's doorstep. It had a microchip and they found out that this was the cat that lived here.
That's so crazy.
It's insane. So scientists studied it. Maybe not the cat in general, but looked into this, studied things. And they theorized that, among other things, it may have used its senses, including magnetic fields, in order to find its way home.
Wow.
So there seems like there's validity to them being able to sense electromagnetic energy and fields and things like that. It's a cool article. You might want to look it up. There were also things about other animals. I think turtles. I don't know if they're the ones that did this. But they realized that some animals can track their way by the stars the way that people used to, because there were some animals, I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, but that were really good at tracking and finding their way, however they figured out this experiment, finding their way to where they were supposed to go when the sky was clear. And when it was cloudy, they weren't able to find their way as well.
So they were
and
staring so they, at the stars.
Yeah.
They I think I know what animal it was. Staring.
What?
The centaur.
Oh, it must have been the centaur. They read the stars. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, so cats do feel these electromagnetic fields. And if electromagnetic fields seem to change when ghosts are around, it's not, and if we're taking that as a fact,
right.
let's say, that's not the most crazy leap, if we're taking that as a fact, that they're sensing that something else is around.
Fascinating.
Totally. So there is a scientific explanation, though, and it's really a theory, because how can you know, for cats staring off into space the way that they do. Their eyesight is so good that they may be sensing subtle motions that we're not even seeing.
Ugh.
So I wonder if it's like, I'm making this up, a door closing, there's a breeze that wiggles a piece of dust that's in the air or something, and we wouldn't notice it, but a cat sees it, it's moving like crazy, maybe it's vibrating like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the cat is staring at it, probably figuring out whether it's safe or not.
Uh-huh.
That's still scary to me.
Yes, that is still scary.
If you, especially if you look at it in a paranormal context,
that it could be that they're analyses on like a microscopic level almost.
Exactly. So what if they're performing it on an interdimensional level and they're looking at something because they're assessing what the deal is and whether this thing is safe or not? They also said that if a cat stares at you and if it's freaking you out, you can blink slowly to show it that you're not scary.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
Which is weird. And the article also, I think the article may have ended by saying, or they may just be looking at you like that because they love you.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Which is very sweet. So I posit,
yes.
Are cats the most elegant living ghost detectors we have?
Huh.
And how do we harness their power? I think it's just that we have to observe their reactions and give them a little bit of credence.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you think about it, I feel like there have been depictions where there's like a psychic who has her cat.
Yeah.
Things mm-hmm. like that. I think in Dr. Sleep, both the movie and the book, there is a cat.
Oh, that's right. That's
that,
right.
That can sense when people are due to die.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That is very cool. Mm-hmm. There's also in Dear David, which we talked about on a previous episode.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of the action is around the cats reacting to things that aren't there or that we can't see being there
right.
on the nanny cam.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's it.
Wow. All right.
Scary cat stuff.
Mystical cats.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what Doolittle would make of that.
I know. All right. Well, from the cat to the beloved dog, mm-hmm. man's best friend.
That's right.
The house pet mm-hmm. by your side. Sometimes,
little buddies.
Sometimes a little too close.
Never.
Let's talk about urban legends
okay.
and dogs, because it occurred to me there are a lot of times that dogs pop up in mm-hmm. urban legends.
Yeah.
And one of the most notable is the story of the licked hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For those of you who do not know the story, urban legends are super short, so I'm just going to go ahead and
read
it.
Yeah, go for it.
A young girl is home alone for the first time with only her dog for company. Listening to the news, she hears of a killer on the loose in her neighborhood. Terrified, she locks all the doors and windows, but she forgets about the basement window and it is left unlocked. She goes to bed, taking her dog to her room with her and letting it sleep under her bed. She wakes up in the night to hear a dripping sound coming from the bathroom. The dripping noise frightens her, but she is too scared to get out of bed and find out what it is. To reassure herself, she reaches a hand toward the floor for the dog and is rewarded by a reassuring lick on her hand. The next morning when she wakes, she goes to the bathroom for a drink of water, only to find her dead, mutilated dog hanging in the shower with his blood slowly dripping onto the tiles. On the shower wall, written in the dog's blood are the words, "Humans can lick too."
That is a really good and scary one.
It's great.
Yes.
And it dates back to 1980 in a story called Bedtime for Sam by David Brown.
Good job, David Brown. That's like one of the best quickie urban legends, I feel like.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's not even necessarily that old, as weird as it is to say.
I feel like I could distinguish a human lick from a dog lick.
So do I.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Not to victim blame.
I know.
But just saying.
Got to pull it together.
It's a different
really
kind
think
of
critically.
Tongue.
Yeah. So there are versions of that story that pop up in pop culture constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Supernatural. It happened in the Urban Legend film series, the slasher knockoff from Scream,
yep.
where the killer kills via urban legends.
I love Urban Legend.
There are three movies.
Yep.
It happens in two of them.
That same thing happens
same
in
thing
two of them?
That same thing happens. In
it doesn't happen in the first one, right?
No.
There's a different dog thing that happens in the first one.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. And actually, that is another story that I kind of referenced, the idea of the old lady who walked her dog in the rain
mm-hmm.
and then to dry it off, put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Oops.
Nope.
But so this Humans Can Lick 2 was also in a 1997 movie called Campfire Tales.
Okay.
Where a group of friends crash their car. And as they are waiting for help to come or whatever, they spend the time telling urban legends. I have been looking for this movie.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it before.
It used to be on like HBO or one of those things. I saw it and I remember liking it.
Yeah.
But I must have been 10.
Uh-huh.
And I've tried to find it without luck. And then it came up in my research here. So this is like...
Oh, did you find it to watch now?
Yes.
Is it on like Dailymotion or something?
Oh, I don't know about that. But now I know what that movie was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There was like a thing in the movie
called.
That I remembered, but I could never figure out what the hell it was from.
Yeah.
It was this. I found it in my research. There's also Wikipedia claims that a version of Humans Can Lick 2 dates back to a 1919 story called The Diary of Mr. Pointer.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked into it, and I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah.
But it is still kind of cool what happens in it. A guy is reading a book. The whole thing is about hair.
Okay.
The entire story is about human hair.
Okay.
Anyway, at a certain point, this guy is reading a book, and he reaches out to pet his dog. He's reading the book a little more, and he reaches out to pet the dog, and then he realizes, oh my god, that's not my dog. And as he thinks it, the figure rises up.
Oh my god.
A giant creature made of human hair.
Oh man, I must really respond to the idea of not looking and like touching something, and it turns out not to be the dog. Those stories are both
really bonkers.
Yeah.
There's also a moment in that story where somebody opens a coffin, and it's full of hair.
Ugh.
Maybe it has something to do with The Grudge. That feels like a very Grudge kind of thing.
But yeah.
Anyway, that's a... Wikipedia says that that's tied to Humans Can Lick 2.
Uh-huh.
I don't really think so, but it sounds interesting.
I mean, it's still a hand and assuming that a dog is touching it, so
it
I get it.
It still is a switcheroo.
Right. Yeah.
Another urban legend, Kristen, is the Choking Doberman.
Okay.
A woman goes out for the evening with friends. Upon her return, she is greeted by her pet Doberman choking in the hallway. Alarmed, she takes the pet to the veterinarian. The vet announces that he must perform a tracheotomy on the animal, and he will call her when he has news. When the woman arrives home, the vet calls and tells her to leave the house at once. The dog was choking on three human fingers. The woman calls the police, who search the house. They discover the burglar hiding in a closet, passed out from blood loss caused by having three fingers bitten off.
Oh my god.
Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't.
That's a fairly common urban legend, the Choking Doberman.
I've never heard that before. Again, I don't mean to quibble. That's quite a leap for the vet, I feel like. You know what I mean? That there's a burglar in the house?
Well, yeah, but I guess it gives you that moment in an urban legend of somebody saying, get out of the house,
yes,
which is what you want.
Course. And I guess the dog was actively choking at that moment, so he must have just swallowed.
It must have just happened. And she was like, I don't know what his deal is. And so he's like,
okay,
oh, his fingers.
It.
She didn't go like, he bit off my fingers, or he bit off my friend's fingers or something.
Right.
So there's cause for alarm.
I take it back. Real quick, you saying giving the dog a tracheotomy thing reminded me. I got Ryan a cover for the back tire thing on his Jeep of our dog Crumbs wearing his Batman Halloween costume from a bunch of years ago.
I love it.
But he had to cut a hole in it for the camera.
Oh, yeah, it's a rear camera.
And it's on the tire, and it's like right at Crummy's throat, so it looks like Crummy has like a tracheotomy box.
Oh, Kristen.
I know.
Oh, Kristen.
I know. It messes with the effect a little bit,
but he's
still cute.
Yeah, he's adorable. So there's a folklorist named Jan Harald Brunvard who wrote a book called The Choking Doberman and Other New Urban Legends. And this person cites an 1800 CE fable. I don't know what CE means.
I don't either.
I forgot. I meant to look that up, but I forgot.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Little homework for our listeners.
Yeah, who the hell knows?
Like...
So it's old.
Yeah.
It's old. About Llewellyn the Great and his dog, Gellert. It's the oldest known ancestor to the Choking Doberman urban legend.
Cool.
In this original legend, Llewellyn leaves his young son at home with Gellert the dog while on a hunting expedition. Upon Llewellyn's return, the dog greets him with a bloody face.
Ugh,
thinking the animal...
That's scary.
I know. Thinking the animal has eaten his child, Llewellyn immediately draws his sword and kills Gellert. However, Llewellyn's son is soon found alive near the dead body of a wolf, revealing that Gellert had actually saved the child from harm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And then weirdly, though this is an urban legend... There is an article from the Phoenix New Times newspaper from 1981 with the headline, Gagging Dog Story Baffles Police.
Oh.
It is exactly the Choking Doberman story, down to the type of dog. So like urban legends.
Weird.
Yeah. So urban legends have ways of shifting over the course of time. So you think about the aspects of the Choking Doberman. You could say that it's a pit bull. You could say that... she didn't go to the vet. She discovered that it was choking and figured out why it's choking.
Right.
Maybe it's not a burglar. Maybe it's a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he wasn't found in the closet. Maybe he's found under her bed. Like there are certain things
tweaks.
That can change. I think this article is where we decided this story was not just the choking dog,
it was
choking Doberman.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, as the article says, New Times learned of the story. They relate the entire tale basically as I just told you. And then they say, New Times learned of the story from an employee of a large industrial plant in the valley. He said he had gotten the story third hand from another employee who in turn had said he heard from a woman whose relatives in Las Vegas knew the dog's owner.
So this might just not be true. It might just be somebody who was recounting the urban legend of the choking Doberman.
And then journalists got a hold of it and tried to like source it back, but couldn't.
Right.
As of Friday, New Times was not able to nail down the identity of the Doberman's mistress. According to a spokesman at the Las Vegas Sun, that paper too was very interested in breaking the story. Unfortunately, even though the story was all over Vegas last Thursday, the paper and police weren't able to dig up one shred of evidence to prove the incident ever occurred.
Huh.
The police are baffled, the Sun spokesman said. So it got reported.
Weird.
And then journalists tried to figure out this urban legend.
Yeah.
Only to, you know, learn the hard way that urban legends are passed from person to person to person to person. It's a game of telephone.
Right.
They are more than likely not true,
you know,
but it
what?
Ended up in a newspaper.
Okay, I want to put out a call to see if a story that I was told is an urban legend, or if it really happened, but I happened to know other people who knew the person it happened to.
Okay.
Because I think I have told this story to friends, and they're like, oh, I think I know somebody that happened to.
I love urban legends.
What if they knew the actual person,
sure.
So it really was a thing? But if our listeners or people from other states are like, oh, yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah, I thought that happened to somebody in high school.
Exactly. Right. It's not scary. It's not a scary urban legend. It's a gross slash funny one.
Okay.
I definitely told you this like 10 years ago.
I'm just very intrigued.
Okay. And it's going to be a little poopy doopy humor. Okay. So get ready if you don't like that. So when I was in cosmetology school, a girl I went to school with told me that this happened to her friend. I think it was that direct. I think she said, my friend.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's her friend's friend. Then
her
it could be
roommate.
Just a whatever.
Right.
But anyway, here's the thing. It was that a girl had a one-night stand with somebody. In the morning, they pooped in their toilet. They tried to flush the poop, but it wouldn't flush. And they were panicking because they didn't want the person who they slept with to have to see their poop or like have to deal with it. So they like crept to the kitchen, got a plastic baggie, scooped the poop from the toilet into the baggie, and they were going to throw it out on their own in like a dumpster on the way out or something. The person was still sleeping who had hooked up with the night before. So they left a note for them saying, thank you so much. I had a great time. Call me. Left it on the counter, and then they locked the door behind them and left. And they realized they left the bag with the poop next to the note on the counter that said, I had a great time, call me. And that person obviously never called them.
Right.
Now, have you guys out there heard this urban legend before? Because it smacks of an urban legend,
right.
But I was presented that this was a pretty close, you know.
Is this a story that swept the nation?
Yes.
People in their early 20s?
Mm-hmm. Let me know.
Let us know.
This was told to me when I was 22, which was 14 years ago in New Jersey. So anyway, just let me know.
Oh, it's so funny.
I know.
Or
great.
Are we going to expose somebody on the air?
I know. I have no idea who it was. But I remember telling it to a couple people who never heard it. And there was at least one person who was like, oh my God, I must know the person who that
right.
happened to or whatever. So that makes me wonder if it's just an urban legend.
Yeah. It's so funny to be like the ramifications of that were like, and they never did call.
But well, yeah, because
like,
that person.
So much worse than like they didn't call. It's like,
because for that,
thank God they didn't call.
That person woke up with poop on their counter and a note that said, I had a great
right.
time.
The fear would be, oh no, what if they do call me? What
so
if I get called out on that?
Yeah, no, I think they just never called. That was the end
right.
of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, away from poop.
Yes.
And back to scary dogs.
If we must.
If you don't mind. If I may. Let's get into actual like mythological
mm-hmm.
beasts and brutes.
Great.
So what I'm going to talk about now are all versions of hellhounds. Hellhounds are really sort of what you might think of when you think about a mythological monster dog.
Yeah.
It seems to cover a wide array of things. Maybe this is a dog that has flaming red eyes. Maybe they glow in the dark. Maybe they portend doom. Maybe they say that you're going to die. Any number of things. These are all hellhounds. The biggest of which, most exciting of which, the one that I'm so excited that we did this topic because it was so much fun to learn these things, I'm going to tell you now about the Grimm.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Great, great, great.
So most people are probably aware of the Grimm from Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. That is the third book and movie
mm-hmm.
in which the titular hero seems to be being stalked by a hulking black dog.
Yeah.
And is later told by Professor Trelawney, the fortune teller at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, that that she sees an image of the Grim in his tea leaves, meaning that he probably is going to die because the Grim appears to people who are doomed to die.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, Ron says his uncle Bilious was rumored to have seen a Grim and died a year later. So I looked into it to figure out what is the origin of this concept.
Yeah.
It turns out that J.K. Rowling may have taken some facts from a creature called the Grim, which is an actual part of folklore, and combined it with a couple of other things, one of which is Black Shuck.
Oh, I've heard of Black Shuck. I don't really know a lot about it or anything about it.
Right. Black Shuck is basically another black dog. There are just tons and tons of black dogs that are bad news.
Right.
And Black Shuck is one of the biggest. It might be a cyclops. It seems to be depicted as having one big red eye in the middle of its face. And in the 1901 book, I think, Highways and Byways in East Anglia, here's a quote. "It is said that to meet him is to be warned that your death will occur before the end of the year. So you will do well to shut your eyes if you hear him howling. Shut them even if you are uncertain whether it is the dog fiend or the voice of the wind you hear."
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So Black Shuck, and if you think about that, it feels very much like the Grim.
Yeah.
The Grim was originally an English belief, and here is the sort of story behind it.
Cool.
Wikipedia lists this as the Church Grim. That seems to be the name of it, because Grims were originally said to protect churchyards against thieves, vandals, witches, warlocks, and even Old Scratch himself.
Oof.
In the 19th century, folklorists believe it may have been a custom to bury a dog alive under the cornerstone of a church as a foundation sacrifice so that its ghost will serve as a guardian.
While I obviously hate that, that's awesome. Not the act of it, but the idea of having a ghost guardian dog is very cool.
Of course. And that concept may have started as a belief that the first person buried in a graveyard would be charged with protecting the grounds against the devil.
I love that.
So in order to prevent a human soul from having to perform such a duty, a black dog was buried in the north part of the churchyard as a substitute.
That's so cool.
There's also a Scottish belief that the most recently buried person is in charge of protecting the churchyard until the next funeral, when a new guardian will replace them.
So that's less daunting.
Yes.
It's not your entire afterlife.
You might have a day.
Yeah, it's a finite amount of time.
Might have a few minutes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. This was known as the Graveyard Watch.
That's so cool.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
In Scandinavian folklore, sometimes the Grim is a lamb, which is buried underneath the altar. If seen in the graveyard, it portends the death of a child.
Wow.
There are other animals that can become the Grim: boars, horses, or the grave sow.
Ooh.
The ghost...
Are these all black? Is that?
I don't know, but they're animals.
Yeah.
The ghost of a sow that was buried alive, often seen as an omen of death. There's also a Swedish tradition called the Arsgang, the year walk. You walk around a churchyard on New Year's Eve. You have like a bunch of things you're supposed to do in order as you do this walk. And you might contend with supernatural creatures that prevent you from doing this, like the Grim.
Yeah.
The thing is, if you do the instructions of the walk correctly, you could catch a glimpse of what's to come for you in the following year. So it might be worth the
risk of running into the Grim.
Exactly.
That's so cool. You know, there's a dog that lives around the corner from us that looks a lot like the Grim.
Oh, really?
Like a very shaggy, kind of spiky black dog. They walk off the leash.
Put a leash on your dog.
Put a leash on it. That's all. But it looks like the Grim.
Don't make me call the police on you again.
Oh, I'll do it. That's a whole other episode.
Kristen and I have a close relationship with the local popo. We call the popo on people that do the no-no.
Oh, left and right. Let me see. How many dogs do I call the popo about without a leash?
Yeah.
Twice. But still.
Hey, popo. I got another no-no.
Got another no-no for you.
Yeah. Put a leash on your dog.
Leash the dog.
Oh,
it's
did
just
you
safe.
Train it? It's really, 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 really trained. Oh, he's smart. He likes to walk with you. Put a leash on your dog.
Don't care. Leash the dog.
The name The Grim is kind of interesting. There's a folktale about a bridge in North Yorkshire. It was built in the hopes of withstanding the fury of floods, which was too tough to do until the devil offered to build a stone bridge, a strong bridge.
I mean, maybe it was stone.
Stone strong bridge.
Stones are strong.
They are strong. In exchange for a sacrifice. Whatever living creature first crosses
the bridge.
This
is the devil?
This is my devil.
Okay.
Whatever living creature first crosses the bridge will be taken.
This is...
The people couldn't decide until a shepherd had an idea. He had a dog named Grim.
Oh, Grim.
He swam across the river and then whistled for his pooch, who walked across the bridge and was taken by El Diablo.
What the hell?
That bridge.
This was a good dog.
The name of that
Come
bridge?
On. Yeah.
Kilgrim
Bridge. Kilgrim Bridge.
Kilgrim Bridge. It's a real place.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kilgrim Bridge. And it got the name because the devil killed a Grim there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I know. Here are some similar stories. I didn't go into super depth on these, and one of them that I don't go into super depth on, because there's literally the Wikipedia for hellhounds and black dog stories is gargantuan. So I tried to find interesting ones. Here are some like little tasty morsels.
Yeah, yeah.
The Q Sith. So Brett Manning art. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I'm not doing a deeper dive. I don't know as much. But the Q Sith in Scottish folklore is a green dog. It barks three times. By the end of its third bark, you'd better get to safety or you're dead.
That's cool.
By the end of its third bark, like stuttered real hard on that. Then this is a real baffling one, but I also want to point out that was another Sith. I like seeing the Sith pop up and stuff as we research it now.
I know. I really had never heard of it until then. I didn't know that Sith had anything to do with anything outside of this Star Wars universe.
You know, they've got to do really some like majorly different stuff with Star Wars now because everybody's pooping all over the new trilogy.
Yeah.
And everyone loves The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I would love to see a story where an evil person has like a hellhound.
Yeah, Wouldn't that be
cool? Couldn't they have like a cool Sith dog?
Yeah.
That'd be rad.
I'd be all over it.
Anyway, here's a weird dog. The Mahdi Dhu. Mm. It haunts Peel Castle in Manx. You know where that is, right?
Of course.
So do I.
Yeah.
Anyway. The Mahdi Dhu. And then I was thinking...
Mahdi Dhu?
Mahdi Dhu. It's like D-H-O-O-O.
Yeah.
O-O-O-O-O. Why am I stuttering?
I don't know.
So it's D-H-O-O.
Yeah.
Which made me think, obviously, of Scooby-Doo.
Right, Mahdi Dhu, Scooby-Doo.
Right, and so I was kind of like, did Scooby-Doo...
like evolve from Mahdi Dhu?
But then...
Mahdi Dhu, where are you?
Right, but then I remembered our Guide to the Unknown of yesteryear.
Right.
Episode 48, we talked about Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
And he got his name from Frank Sinatra's Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Oh my God, I did not remember that.
Which is true.
Yes.
So there just happens, it's just a coincidence...
Weird.
...that there is a ghost dog...
named Mahdi Dhu? That's quite a coincidence. I will say, so I've been putting up every Tuesday, I put a clue as to what the coming week's episode is on patreon.com/gttupod. And the guesses on my clue for this week were both Scooby-Doo, because I titled it, instead of Tuesday Cluesday, I said Tuesday Doosday, because of Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
And then I made allusions to dogs and sniffing. And Scooby-Doo was a very good guess,
but
not correct.
You never could have known that it would end up in here somewhere, though,
I had no idea Mahdi Dhu was coming. I only had eyes for Doolittle.
Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, there's the Hound of the Baskervilles, which I'm a big fan of.
Same.
Sir Charles Baskerville has been found dead, a look of horror frozen upon his face.
That's right. This is a story from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yes.
A Sherlock Holmes story.
Not far from his corpse were found the footprints of a gigantic hound. According to an old legend, a curse runs in the Baskerville family when Sir Hugo Baskerville abducted and murdered a woman, which I didn't remember.
I don't remember that either.
Only to be killed by a demonic hound. The same creature has been haunting the place ever since, causing the premature death of many Baskerville heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found this from ancient-origins.net. They think they might have the origin of the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Oh, cool.
A hound that's gigantic and like glows at night with phosphorus and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what they had to say. On Dartmoor, the notorious Squire Cabell was said to have been a huntsman who sold his soul to the devil. When he died in 1677, black hounds are said to have appeared around his burial chamber. The ghostly huntsman is said to ride with black dogs. This tale inspired Arthur Conan Doyle to write his well-known story, The Hound of the Baskervilles.
Cool. That's awesome.
Also, for just as a sidebar, I'm sure this is common trivia for some people who are into this kind of thing, but it's worth pointing out because I think it's kind of fun. Hound of the Baskervilles is probably one of the most famous Sherlock Holmes stories.
Yeah.
It's actually, he had already killed Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Hound of the Baskervilles was the first story that came out after the entire public said, right, how dare you kill Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah.
So he came back to do another, and it became one of the most well-known stories of all time, so much so that it might be people's go-to when it's really almost like a tacked-on story. So odd.
Yeah. Well, people are so thrilled to have him back. I'm sure that's why it blew up and it's so memorable.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm going to start wrapping it up now.
Okay.
Just a few short, quick ones. Mm-hmm. Like the Cadejo in Central America. There are actually two. There's a black dog and a white dog. The black dog will kill travelers, and it smells like urine and sulfur.
Oh, very good.
His pal, the white dog, wants to protect those travelers. Hmm. So it's sort of a good-evil duality.
What does it smell like? Marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Yeah.
And urine. Yeah. in Wales, there was a black dog that haunts St. Donat's Castle.
St. Donat's?
St.
Donat's. My patron saint.
St. Donat. Sometimes accompanied by a hag. Mm. Which I just...
Yeah.
You know, a hag is one of those concepts that I would also like to look into.
I like a hag.
I know, but it's just funny to only like in a glancing blow be like, right, there's a hag with him.
Yeah.
That's all. And then here's my last little dog. How about Padfoot? You know, we got into the whole Grimm thing with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Padfoot itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Is a hellhound. It follows people with the light padding sound of its paws, and it can utter a roar unlike the voice of any known animal.
Cool.
Sometimes you can hear the sound of a trailing chain along with the sounds of its footsteps.
That's cool. Yeah.
I looked up Cerberus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I don't really know what that is.
Yeah, he's got three heads. He guards the gates of hell in Greek mythology.
Okay.
I used to really love Greek mythology.
It's so funny. I have the Greek mythology book that we had when we were kids.
Like Mom's
the
book?
Yeah. And every once in a while I think about reading it and I just never do. I should.
I read that book so many times.
Me too. I bet it'd be really nostalgic and like weird to read as an adult.
Greek mythology can be really like out there.
Yeah, totally.
They don't usually get scared. They're monsters aplenty, mm-hmm. but I feel like they're not usually scary.
No, I don't remember it being scary. I just remember it being like cool and weird and interesting.
Exactly. Even Medusa with like snakes for hair didn't scare me, but I was like, this is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. It's just really interesting.
So we all basically accept that Cerberus has three heads.
Mm-hmm.
However, the way that it was originally depicted in artwork, like on pottery, stuff like that, sometimes it had one.
Hmm.
Sometimes it had two.
Huh.
Sometimes it has many heads.
Not a hard and fast rule.
It's also said to have a snake for a tail.
Oh, ew. I love that.
Hercules was challenged to bring Cerberus out of Hades, not because anybody wanted
Cerberus around.
He was challenged purely because the task was thought to be impossible.
Herculean
effort went into that.
Yeah.
And then the final thing I have to say is kind of loosey-goosey, but I liked it, and I happened to stumble across it recently.
Okay.
On the Howard Stern show, especially recently, there's a guy named High Register Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this?
No.
Okay. So High Register Sean believes in dog men.
Oh, no, I haven't heard this.
He's like a conspiracy theorist guy. I'm very recently have turned out to be a big Howard Stern fan. Never saw this coming.
Same.
Didn't see it coming, but really enjoying it.
Yeah, totally.
And
listen to a lot of Howard Stern.
High Register Sean claims that he has seen dogmen in his own backyard. They don't have souls because they're made in a lab. They are literally, like, from what I can understand, I tried to look into this. The reason that I'm not reading my notes anymore is because it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
But from what I can gather, he thinks that the government has made dog man hybrids.
Okay.
Because they might be easy to command.
Okay. All right.
I think.
Huh.
Anyway.
Was this on the show recently?
Kind of.
Huh. No, I did not hear this.
He was on the show recently. And they referenced the fact that he had talked about dog men with them periodically. But I think on yesterday's show, they had this guy, High Register Sean. He likes to be called Shawnee.
Yeah.
They had him on. He was on for almost an hour talking about all manner of conspiracy theories, flat earth, hollow earth, all kinds of stuff.
You know why I didn't hear this? yesterday I was listening to the Blank Check podcast episode about Silence of the Lambs, which was like 3 hours long, so it took up all my listening time yesterday.
There you go.
So I missed the show.
Okay.
Okay, well, this makes sense.
It's a worthwhile reason.
Yeah.
But you should go back.
I will.
And Howard Stern, as they're talking to this guy, he keeps going like, all right, we got to move on. I can't talk to this guy anymore. And then they keep talking to him.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, they're this guy Shuley, who works a lot with like the Whack Pack, which is like the ragtag weirdos on that show, like High Pitch Eric.
Yeah.
Howard at one point goes like, I want you like on a plane to him like tonight. So I'm hoping there's going to be more talk of conspiracy theories, urban legends.
Oh man, I'm totally going back stuff and listening to
come on
to
Howard Stern. It was very exciting.
Dog men,
according to High Register Shawnee from the Howard Stern show, might exist, and they might be a government program to create dog men.
Interesting. Well, that also reminds me, I can't remember who it was, but it was a while ago. They were mocking somebody because they felt they had a visitation from their dog in their dreams. Does that ring a bell to you?
Yes, that was Sal Gavinelli.
Okay. Yeah.
He said his dog visited him in his dream, which is also something that I've said.
Yes, totally. But they were giving him the hardest of times. You can imagine.
No, you can't imagine. These guys.
Yeah, they razz each other like nobody's business.
Yeah.
I also want to mention, it's said, I think it's still the case, that black dogs and cats aren't adopted nearly as much as animals of other colors. So please consider adopting a black dog or cat.
Yeah, can we please celebrate black dogs and cats
right now.
Yes.
Listener of the show and friend Aurora works for the Philadelphia ACC Animal Center. And I know she would love for you guys to adopt some black dogs and cats.
Yes.
So
adopt some black dogs and cats.
We had a family cat that was black for a long time. Our parents also had one before we were even born or anything. Fabulous animal. Fabulous.
Fabulous animal.
So go out and get a black dog or cat. How badass would it to be to have the Grim at home?
Exactly. It should be something that we should be celebrating.
Yes, it's cool.
Like, yeah, it's badass.
Yeah, I mean, if you all like dogs, scary stuff, like that's kind of an ultimate status symbol of somebody who likes creepy stuff.
All animals deserve love. All animals deserve respect and everything.
Of course.
Black animals being maligned, let's celebrate instead. Lift them up.
Yeah.
Have a party.
Let's elevate them.
Yeah, put a leash on them.
Yeah, put a leash on them. All right?
Could you?
We're putting a leash on this episode and we're taking it inside.
All right.
We're done.
That's a wrap.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, me too.
And you can hang out with us throughout the week in between episodes by going to patreon.com/GTTUpod and donating to get some of all of our bonus content if you donate $4 or more per month.
Yep. Go get the brand new episode that's out now.
Yep.
You get to get our basically live reactions as we watch these music videos. You can listen along with us, and there's a link so that you can watch what we are watching at the same time.
Yep.
A lot of fun, really crazy. I want to do more stuff like that in the future.
Yeah, it was really fun.
I really hope that you guys will enjoy it. Patreon.com/GTTUpod.
That's right. You can also leave us a review if you like the show by going to Apple Podcasts or any place that you can leave reviews. We would really super appreciate it because then when people see that it has a lot of reviews, they're like, oh, people like them, they'll listen to it, they join our cool community, maybe they join the Patreon, we can get more money to do cool different sorts of things.
Yep.
You get more people to hang out with and talk about the show within the groups. It's only a good thing to have more people listening to the show because we can put out more cool stuff.
Exactly. It always makes us feel good to read them, especially when we see one like this review that Fuzzy Torty left. Love this podcast. I absolutely love this podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
Keep up the great work, guys. Thanks for taking your time to keep us informed of the unusual and creepy and making us laugh in the process. Signed, Dusty. 5 stars.
Thank you, Dusty. 5 stars to that review. Thank you. And you can hang out with people like Dusty in our private Facebook group by going to facebook.com/groups/GTTUpod and follow us everywhere on social media at GTTUpod.
Yeah, you can also follow us individually as people.
That's right. I'm at Chillin' Kristen on Instagram and Twitter.
And I am the Myth Traveler.
That's right.
So thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Go pet your dog, pet your cat, take some pictures of them. Get a black cat today, put a leash on some stuff.
That's right.
And we will see you next week for more spooky stories from the great beyond. But until that time comes, we must travel.
Back to the Netherworld. The Netherworld. Go we. Back to the Netherworld.
Back to the Netherworld. Go we.
Talk like Nut Butters.
Yeah, it's time to go back to the Netherworld, I think.